Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, how many pair of jeans do you own? Many? None? I think it's a bit unusual if you don't own any, but that's a possibility because maybe you didn't grow up wearing jeans and you're not comfortable in jeans. But there are jeans for everybody, and now they get stretchier, and now there's really knit things that look like jeans. You know, if comfort has been a deterrent, you know, lack of comfort, well, you may have some new choices. But it is, I think, kind of interesting to think about how jeans have changed, how our lives have changed, and the part that jeans has played in people's lives and kind of our culture. So looking back, way back, when did jeans sort of come to be? Well, they were kind of by accident. The miners during the gold rush needed some really tough pants to wear. And so I'm not sure it was Levi Strauss. He was the beginner of our popular jeans. But the person then cut up some canvas tents to make the jeans, or not called jeans then, but make those work pants that were really tough. And they became so popular that sort of then moved to the point where Levi Strauss and a tailor, Jacob Davis, invented the first pair of jeans and went to this color, the denim kind of color. So it took a while to get there, but that was in 1873, so a couple of years ago. But the important thing then was still that those jeans be tough, that they go through lots of wear and tear, and that's one of the reasons that those little copper rivets were added at, like at the top of the pockets in several places, so that the jeans would stand up under wear and tear. So it was a matter of necessity, not of fashion, that created those first jeans, and many people called them overalls, by the way, or half overalls, not jeans. The name jeans didn't come along until, you know, in the 1900s. So it's, as we look back again, it was a part of the growing West. It was a part of the culture. And when they really became popular to the general public was in the kind of middle 30s, when there were so many popular Western movies. And all the cowboys, of course, had them. So women decided they would like to have some of those pants that they could wear when they were out roughing and toughing, or just, you know, working, or maybe they wanted to just wear them to a dude ranch, probably the first ones, you know, where somebody said, oh, this is a new fashion, I want to have those to wear when I go to the dude ranch. Who knows? But that's when they really started becoming a popular part of our mainstream. And then in the 50s, now that's not all that long ago. In the 50s is when the teens who wanted to be rebellious, you know, wear them where most people wore them just for work or something special. But teens said, no, this is the look we want. And part of that was because of the movie with bad boy James Dean in 1955. He was a rebel, and the teens wanted to show they were a bit rebellious. So James Dean and Marlon Brando kind of set that theme for us. Well, then in the 60s and 70s is when the hip-hugging, bell-bottom blue jeans became an anti-establishment statement. Were you a part of that? Did you wear those big bell-bottom, hip-hugging jeans? In the 70s and 80s, the kind of trend went to the colored corduroy, and the sale of jeans went down a bit, but hey, they came back. And then in that era is when the designers started saying, oh, here's a market for us. And so they started putting their own spin, making these chic versions of jeans so that they'd be popular with everybody, not just working class or teens. And then as we go into the years of 2000, the high price, the even more chic, the more special jeans, and just kept on being very popular. And then recently there's been those skinny jeans. For a while they were the bright colors, and I'm still seeing lots of skinny jeans, but some people would like to have them be more comfortable. So guess what? They may look like jeans or they may not look like jeans, but the leisure wear, the more stretchy fabrics, are becoming more popular. So the sale of jeans, actual jeans, has gone down a bit. Don't think they'll ever disappear. And as you kind of think about how jeans have progressed or not progressed, I'm sure you're thinking about those really expensive jeans that I never had in my closet. I'm guessing most of you listening never had in your closet. The ones that were pre-torn, worn at the knees, full of holes, sometimes patches, but mostly holes, and going, shaking our heads and going, okay, we're spending, somebody is spending hundreds of dollars on jeans that are basically pre-worn, the pre-worn look. You know, the manufacturers washed them a lot of times, got them faded, and put holes in them, and, you know, so they looked pre-worn. And even if they weren't torn, some manufacturers did the washing and basically roughing them up so that when people put them on, they felt really soft and comfy instead of kind of stiff like some new jeans feel. So there's all kinds of people out there thinking about what buyers might like and trying to meet that need. And one of those needs, as I said recently, because of the leisure wear, the athletic wear, the yoga, you know, all of that sort of thing, that we have so much stretchy fabric. Yep, Levi Strauss, along with others, are making stretch knit pants that look like jeans or try to look like jeans. Now, we mentioned price. What's the highest price you've ever paid for a pair of jeans? Well, right now, you could, if you had the money and you wanted to, pay $1.3 million for one pair of jeans. Why would anybody do that? Well, I'm not sure. They must have more money than they know what to do with. But the reason they're so expensive is they have designs on the back pockets full of diamonds, real diamonds. So that's what brings the price up. And then the probably next most expensive design jeans are for $250,000. And those have been, the word they use is thrashed. That's where they've been washed and made soft and a bit ragged and so on. But they also have rubies, diamonds, other jewels on them. Then there's the person who collects jeans and bought a pair of jeans from 1880. Now, somehow that makes more sense in my mind. If you're going to be a collector of something, you're willing to go out and pay a little more for something you really, really want. Well, this was a pair of Levi's from about 1880, and the person paid $60,000 for them. Then on down, the next most expensive ones are like $10,000. And again, mostly those have some kind of jewels on them, but they are individually designed. As a buyer, you can say, this is how I want my jeans to look. And they're probably also individually fit exactly to you. So those, you know, you can understand a little more, but maybe not at $10,000. Now, from there down, you know, $100, and there are a lot of people who pay $100 for jeans. And possibly because they're more comfortable and they know they're going to wear a long time. But between $100 and $300, there's many kinds of jeans on the market for kind of the ordinary public. Maybe not for me, but for lots of people who'd like to make that choice. So I think it's interesting, as with other kinds of clothing, how jeans have changed to meet the needs, the interests, the culture, and now jeans are just a part of our lives. It used to be they were only work. Now they go almost everywhere. So that's a part of our culture in terms of becoming less formal, more informal in our lives. So it's as you look at all the things in our lives, it's kind of interesting to see how they've changed to fit the changing times and are a part of sometimes driving those changing times. So how many jeans do you have in your closet or in piled up? Do all of them fit? Are there some you just can't get rid of because of the good memories? Whatever. I hope you enjoy your jeans. Until next time, here's the thought. Live more, complain less.